So we are holding on Nun Omid Beis, two lines from the bottom. We said in the Mishnah, Omar Shvisasi Be'ikroi, we said that if a person is far away from his house, he sees he's not going to get there before Shabbos. So, but he recognizes a landmark, which is within 2,000 amos of where he is, and within 2,000, and ideally also within 2,000 amos of his house. So we said that then he's able to be kaveya, that his makam shvisa is going to be under that tree. So we said if he just says under that tree, then it's no good because the tree is too wide. He hasn't defined what his four amos are. In the Gemara yesterday, we said that if the tree is seven amos wide or narrower, then it's fine for him to say under the tree because then at least some part, then at least some part of his four amos are defined. But other than that, not. If the tree is wider than that, then it doesn't work. We discussed what Rav and Shmuel say, that Rav says it doesn't work at all, and that means that means he doesn't have a tchum at all. He only has four amos. And Shmuel says it doesn't work in the sense that you're going to have to subtract the width of the tree from his tchum on both sides. So he can only walk to the tree if the whole tree is within 2,000 amos. And he can only walk home from it only if the end of the tree that's further away from his house is within 2,000 amos of it. So in effect, he loses the space under the tree from his tchum on both sides. And the Gemara yesterday actually mentioned that a detail in that, Shmuel would say that maybe he has up to 2,004 amos actually to work with, because you have also four amos that you can go within your makam shvisa. Anyway, but we said in the Mishnah, Omar Shvisasi Be'ikroi, if the person says that my Makam Shvisa is at the trunk of the tree, so now he defined a certain place by the trunk. So then Mahalach Makam Raglavad Ikra Paimama. So he's able now to walk from where he is now when he said this, 2,000 amos until the trunk of the tree, then he's able to walk another 2,000 amos from the trunk to his house, assuming, of course, that his house is within 2,000. So it comes out, therefore, that he's walked 4,000 amos after Shabbos began. And that's still mutter because it was all within. First, he walked from one end of his tchum to the middle, to the midpoint, to the central point of his tchum, his makam shvisa, and then from there to the other end of it. He did this all after Shabbos had began, because when Shabbos began at Bein Hashmashos, he was 2,000 amos or less from the tree. Yeah. So Amar Rav, Avahud ki roit leikre mati. So Rav says that we say that he's kona shvisa by defining a certain place is only if he would actually be able to run there and be able to reach it before Shabbos begins. So then, in other words. So we're saying the tree is 2,000 amos away, but it can't be that he says this, let's say, 1 minute before Bein HaShemashos, because he wouldn't possibly be able to make it there before Shabbos begins. It would have to be, let's say he says it 10 minutes before Shabbos begins, so that there'd be enough time, or less, however long it takes to run 2,000 amos. Abaya says, what do you mean? It said the Mishnah had said that it became dark for him, implying, in other words, that Shabbos already began, and it's still fine. The answer is, Rava would say, Chosh Chalavesei Aval Le'ikur Shel Ilan Matzi Ozel. All it means is the dark insofar as he wouldn't be able to reach his house even if he ran with all his strength. But there is enough time that he would be able to run to the trunk of the tree. But if there isn't, in other words, Rava is saying, then that's not good. Well, no, because we're talking about where his house is in a straight line from where he is. It's not making an L. The reason why he's using the tree is because otherwise his house is more than 2,000 amos away. He's not going to be able to reach there at all. So he uses the tree as on the way as a landmark, and he says, therefore, my makam shvisa is going to be under the tree, and that allows him now to go from one end of the tchum to the tree and then to the other end. Ikadamri Omar Rava, another explanation. Rava says, you're right, Abaya, the Mishnah does say Choshchaloi, but what it means is Choshchaloi ki maski kali kali. It means it would be dark before he reaches the tree if he just walks regular. Aval rohit mati, but it could still mean that if he runs, he's able to reach there. He's able to reach there before Shabbos begins. So that's how it is. Actually, So when we say that he has his makam shvisa, it has to be like that. It has to be that when he says this should be my makom shvisa, it has to be such that he would, in principle, be able to reach there before Shabbos actually begins. Even if it takes running, even if it takes running b'chol koicha, yeah. So that's the thing. He has in mind of a place, but it has to be, according to what we're saying in the Gemara over here, it has to be that he actually would be able to reach there before Shabbos actually begins. In other words, by the end of Bein HaShemoshes, as long as he runs as fast as possible. That's what we're saying over here in the Gemara. Rava is explaining that's what the Mishnah means. So the Gemara tells, Rabba and Rabbi Yosef one time were traveling on the road, and they were too far from the city to be able to get there before Shabbos. So Rabba says to Rabbi Yosef, let's make our makam shvisa tusi dikla de savil achuha under this particular palm tree which another palm tree leans on it. The savil achuha means that it holds up its brother, its fellow palm tree. In other words, it was a well-known landmark in that area. Ba'amrila tusi dikla de parik mori mikarga. Or some say that he says it was a different tree. He says under the palm tree that patters its owner from the head tax. Kraga is a certain type of tax they had to pay in those days where every person has to pay. This particular tree produced so many dates that he was able to sell them and make a nice amount of money, and he was able to pay his tax with that. So in effect, like he's potter from having to pay the tax out of everything else, he's able to pay it. Thanks to this tree, he's able to pay his taxes. So he asks, Yodaleimar. So Rabba says to Rabbi Yosef, are you familiar with that tree? Amale lo yadaimale. So Rabbi Yosef says, no, I'm not familiar with that tree. How am I supposed to be able to? He didn't know that particular landmark. So that's the thing. Amale smoicholai. So Rabba says, in that case, you can rely on me. I know where it is, so I will be Kona Shvisa there, and you can be Kona Shvisa along with me over there. D'tanya, Rabbi Yosi Omer, im hoyu shnayim. Rabbi Yosi says that if there were two people, this was in the Gemara yesterday, if there were two people, echad makir ve'echad she'enei makir, one recognizes a landmark, the other one doesn't. Ze she'enei makir moisa shvisase lemakir, then the one who doesn't know the landmarks can give over his shvisa to the one who does. In other words, he can say, my makam shvisa is going to be wherever yours is. And ze she'makir omer tehei shvisa senei v'makam ploini, and the one who recognizes the landmark can say, oh, makom shvisa should be in such and such a place, and the other one will go along with him. However, the Gemara says, v'loihi. Now that's when Rabba, now the din itself may be correct, but when Rabba quotes this braisa in the name of Rabbi Yosef, that's actually not, Rabbi Yosi rather, when he quotes it in the name of Rabbi Yosi, that's not actually correct. The braisa we just had, it was a stam braisa. It wasn't in the name of Rabbi Yosi. Why did Rabba quote the Braisa in the name of Rabbi Yosi in order that Rabbi Yosef should accept that this is the halacha? Mishum did it because, like this, if it was just Stama Braisa, Rabbi Yosef could say, who says that it's a correct Braisa, there might be a mistake in it. But by quoting in the name of Rabbi Yosi, Rabba figured that way Rabbi Yosef will accept it. Mishum de Rabbi Yosi ni mukoi imoi, because Rabbi Yosi, we say in Gittin, always has a good reason with him. Whenever he says a din, there's always a good reason behind it. We've learned this thing of Rabbi Yosi ni mukoi imoi earlier in the Masechta. Rashi over here actually mentions an interesting thing, which he doesn't mention anywhere else. The word nimuk on the surface just means a reason. But Rashi over here explains the word nimukoi we can break up into the words nim v'kav. Nim means a statement, like na'um, and kav means a straight line. So what Rabbi Yosi says is as straight as a plumb line. In other words, you can definitely rely on it. Now, how can he do such a thing to go and quote a braisa in the name of somebody that didn't actually say it? So there's a number of different, so actually it's brought in poskim. The Magen Avraham brings that maybe you are indeed allowed to do that based on this Gemara over here. On the other hand, he points out, you have on the other hand a stira in that there's a Gemara someplace else that says that you're not supposed to say something in the name of somebody who didn't say it. So a number, the Achronim give a number of different explanations how it works over here. Among others is if you know that people are going to accept it, even without you doing that, then you're not allowed to do it. In this case, Rabba figured that if he doesn't say this, then Rabbi Yosef may not accept the din at all, and he's going to be stuck out in the middle of nowhere. So he would tell it to him in the name of Rabbi Yosef, where otherwise he might not accept it. Another answer is if you know that it's in the name of a particular chacham, you can't say it in the name of a different one. But here it was a stam b'raisa, so he's allowed to attribute it to Rabbi Yosef. And a few other reasons like that of why such a thing is allowed. But it was definitely, there's no question it was a braisa. The question. The halacha is in fact like that braisa, that one can be samech on the other. So good. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, im einem makir, we said if he doesn't recognize a particular landmark.
Alexander, I missed this. Yeah. It's a few seconds that you, I don't know, something went blank.
I don't know. It's been here. I haven't seen any glitches. So I don't know.
Could you repeat what you said?
Yeah, we just said about the braisa, that the braisa itself is a valid braisa, but the fact that Rabba quoted in the name of Rabbi Yosef, in the name of Rabbi Yosef, the Tana, was in order that Rabbi Yosef, the Amora, should accept it, and we talked about a number of explanations among Achronim, how you're able to do such a thing. Is it because he knew the halacha is correct, and therefore, when you know that, you're allowed to attribute it to a particular manda amar, even though he didn't actually say it, or is it you can't switch it? You can't, for example, if it was according to Rabbi Yosi, say it's according to Rabbi Yehuda. If you knew it was according to Rabbi Yehuda, let's say you can't say it's according to Rabbi Yosi, but if it was stam, then you can say it in the name of whoever you want. There's a few different explanations.
Okay.
Then we said in the Mishnah, we said if a person doesn't recognize a particular landmark, or if he's not expert enough, he doesn't know the relevant halacha, that he's able to be kona a makam shvisa at a distance. Then if he just says that my makam shvisa is where I am now, then he gets 2,000 amas in every direction. So now let's talk more generally about these 2,000 amas. Hani apayim ama heichuk. He doesn't recognize a landmark, let's say. So he's far away from home. He's not going to make it home before Shabbos. And we said in the Mishnah that if he recognizes a particular tree, let's say, which is within 2,000 amas of him and within 2,000 amas of home, then he's able to use that as a makam shvisa, and then he's able to get home. Well, let's say he doesn't know the local landmarks, let's say. So, or he doesn't know this halacha, that he's able to be kona shvisa at a distance of where he is, and then he's just kona shvisa where he is, and he has 2,000 amas from where he is now. So the question is, hani apayim ama heichan ksivan? Where does it say anywhere in the Torah about 2,000 amas? Now, according to that, we've learned many times already that most of the Rishonim hold, actually everybody holds, except for Rabbi Akiva, that tchumin or derabanan. So basically, the Gemara is asking over here, what's the pasuk that the Chachamim used it as an asmachta for the concept of 2,000 amas? Because after all, you know, why dafka 2,000 amas? Why don't they make 1,000? Why don't they make 3,000? So why epis 2,000? So like this, Tanya, we learn in a braisa, you have the pasuk that says, Moshe Rabbeinu says to the people who are collecting the mon, shvu ishtachtav, the pasuk goes, shvu ishtachtav, everybody sit in your place, al yetze ishmimakayim, and no person should go out of his place. So these are two different things. Shvu ishtachtav elu abamas. The word shvu ishtachtav, everybody sit in your spot, that refers to the four amas. We learned a few days ago that you have, how do we learn from that pasuk four amas? Because a person's body with their hands and legs outstretched takes up four amas, yeah. Then when it says al yetze ish mimakomai, when it says no person shall leave their makom, shall leave their place, elu alpayim ama, that refers to the 2,000 amas. So where? Minolon, where do we get 2,000 amas from the word makomai? Amar of chista, we do a multiple level gzeira shava. Lamanu makom mimakom, we learn the makom where it says over here, where it doesn't say an amount, from another place where it says makom, umakom minisa, in turn that makom has with it the word nisa, so then the word nisa, which means running away, vinisa minisa, then we learn that from another pasuk that has the word nisa in it, vinisa migvul, that other nisa, that other time when it says vinus, has the word gvul in it, Ugvul migvul, then we have another pasuk that ties it to another pasuk that has the word gvul. Ugvul michutz, then that gvul is associated with the word chutz in the pasuk. Vchutz michutz. And then finally, we do that chutz is associated with another pasuk that says chutz, which mentions 2,000 amos. So Rashi says, in other words, like this. What we do is we start out with the pasuk, al yetze ish mimakaymai. So we don't know how much that makom is. We have another pasuk that mentions makom, namely where the pasuk says, if a person kills somebody else accidentally, v'samti l'cham makom asher yonus shama. I will give you a makom where you will be able to escape to. So therefore, so that now we have, so we see therefore that the makom of Tchumen is associated with a different makom, which has to do with running away there. Then we have another pasuk that we have another pasuk that mentions the word running away, migvul ir miklotei asher yonos. If he goes out of the gvul, out of the boundary of the city where he ran away to, then the goyel adam can get him. Yeah. Then we have another pasuk that mentions gvul. Where it says umotza, the next pasuk continues umotza oisa goyel adam michutz the gvul. If the goyel adam finds him outside the gvul, then he can kill him. And then we have the last one is that we do chutz from chutz. Is the pasuk says umadosa michutz la'ir. You should measure outside the city on each side 2,000 amos. No, not by Eglah Rufa, by the Orei Miklat themselves. The Orei Miklat have a migrash around them, an open area of 2,000 amos. Well, so actually, we'll talk about that more in the next perek. We're going to have a lot of detail and a lot of math about that to calculate exactly how it works. One way of understanding it is that you have 1,000. So the pasuk mentioned, we're going to say in a second in the Gemara, the pasuk also mentions 1,000 amos in that connection. So many of the Mephoshim learn that what it means is, Rashi, for example, on the pasuk, you have 1,000 amos outside the field, outside the city, that are left empty. I guess they can have grass in them or whatever, but they're not meant to be used. It's just meant to be an open area to beautify the city. Beyond that, you have another 2,000 amos for the fields and the vineyards of the Levium and whoever else lives in the city. So one way of understanding, actually, so I think actually Rashi on the pasuk says that no, what it means is you have the whole thing is 2,000 amos, of which 1,000 is empty space, migrosh, and the outside 1,000 is for sodas akramim. The Rambam learns that it's 1,000 empty and then 2,000 for sodas akramim. Whatever, the pasuk mentions 1,000 and it mentions 2,000, and the 2,000 is mentioned in connection again. It uses the word chutz, michutz la'ir apayim amos. You should measure on the outside of the city in each direction 2,000 amos. And again, by associating, again, we have mokum is associated with mokum, which in turn is associated with nisa, and nisa with nisa, which in turn is associated with gvul. Gvul to gvul is another gzeder shava, which is associated with chutz. And then the chutz and the chutz gives us another chutz, which mentions the 2,000 amos. So again, it's an asmachta. According to the vast majority of Rishonim, it's an asmachta, because the whole thing of Tchumen is an asmachta. But still, yeah. The pasuk says that you should measure outside the city to the east side 2,000 amos and so forth to each of the other sides. So we see that 2,000 amos is associated with chutz and eventually is associated with makom. So the Gemara says, "V'neilaf mikira irva chutzah elaf amah." Why are we learning 2,000 amos? Instead, the previous pasuk mentions that from the wall of the city outward, you should measure 1,000 amos, which again means that you have 1,000 amos of migrosh, of empty space around the city. And then according to Rashi, you have another 1,000 amos for the fields and vineyards, and according to the Rambam, you have 2,000. But why the pasuk says chutzah, and why don't we learn from there 1,000 amos? So maybe a tchumah should only be 1,000 amos. The answer is donin chutz mechutz ve'in donin chutz mechutzah. Because you have the pasuk that mentioned chutz, which was associated with gvul, was the umatza oisa goel adam mechutz legvul ir mikotei. Here you also have umadosa mechutz la'ir. So therefore, we're going to learn the chutz from chutz. We're not going to learn, if we're going to learn a gzera shava, we're not going to learn from the word chutzah, which it has to be as similar as possible. So the Gemara says, my nafkamina, why should it be a difference? We can learn gzera shavas from words that are not identical, even from words from different shoshim. Hatana dveda bishmal v'shava koin uvoa koin zuhi shiva zuhi bia. we learn in a braisa of the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, you have one pasuk in connection with saras of houses that says that the kohen returns. Another one says that the kohen comes, and we learn gzeira shava, zuhi shiva, zuhi bia, that the same things take place both times. So Rashi gives the whole detailed explanation. It has to do with like this. Saras of houses, there's a you can make a whole flow chart of it. What happens? You have up to 3 weeks during which saras of houses takes place, in which you have do you demolish the house, when do you demolish it, when do you take out the stones and the area that had saras and replace them with new stones and new plaster, when do you matahar the house. So it gets a little bit complicated. But one point is, so you have like this. One case is where the saras spread at the end of the first week. So the Kohen locked up the house for a week, comes back at the end of the first week and finds that the tzaras spread. So that's the pasuk says on that Veshava Kohen. He comes back and sees that the tzaras has spread. So then what you do is you take out the stones and the plaster and so forth and replace them and rebuild that wall. And then if it comes back again, then you tear down the house. But then you can have a case where the tzaras did not spread at the end of the first week. So it didn't go away, but it didn't spread either. So then the din is the Kohen locks up the house for another week. Now at the end of the second week, he comes and checks and sees if now at the end of the second week it spread where it didn't spread at the end of the first week. On that, the pasuk says Vaha Kohen, and the pasuk says the Kohen comes, and the next pasuk continues that he demolishes the house. But we learn from the Gzeda Shava between the word Shav and Ba that no, you don't tear down the house at that point. What you do is, because again, if it had spread at the end of the first week and then you had to replace the stones, and then it spread again at the end of the second week and you had to, and then we would say you tear down the house. But because here that didn't happen, it was still the same size at the end of the first week. Only at the end of the second week it spread. Then we say the same thing. You take out the stones and replace them and replaster. So we learn that from this Gzeda Shava of a Shav and a Va. So we see that even though the words Shav and Ba are not the same word at all, they just have the same basic meaning, you can still learn a Gzeda Shava from one to the other. So why shouldn't we be able to learn a Gzeda Shava from Chutz to Chutzah? The answer is Hani Mili Hechad Lekad Midi Dedomile. The Gemara says you're right. If there's no other similar word that you can use for the Gzeda Shava, then of necessity you use a different word, which is somehow similar to it, for example, in meaning. Aval Hechad Ikad Dedomile. But where you have a different word that is exactly the same, Midi Dedomile Yafin, and then we're going to learn from the identical word. So here, if we have a choice of learning the Gzeda Shava from the word chutz, or learning it from the word chutzah, which chutz would give us 2,000 amas, chutzah would give us only 1,000, then we're going to learn from chutz, which is 2,000, because it's the same as the word in the other side of the Gzeda Shava, the word chutz by michutz legvul ir miklotei. So that's how we learn it. The Gemara mentions, by the way, you have similar things in a couple of other Gemaras. Usually, you know, we're all familiar with usually a Gzeda Shava is from one pasuk to one pasuk. You don't usually have a multiple word and multiple pasuk Gzeda Shava like this, a whole chain like this. But you have other examples. The Gemara does that. The Gemara does something similar in Psachim as far as how we learn that B'dikas Chametz has to be done with a candle. The Gemara does a similar thing in Ksubah. So you have a couple of places in Shas where we have like this, a chain like this, where we learn something from it. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Paim Amma Agulos, we said the 2,000 Amas around the person, or in general the Tchum, are round, says Rav Chanina ben Antignus, and the Chum say they're square. So the question is, Rav Chanina ben Antignus, Manafshach. According to Rav Chanina ben Antignus, either way you look at it, you have a problem with his opinion. E isle Gzeda Shava, if he holds of the Gzeda Shava that we just learned, that you're learning from the Migrash, from the Tchum, whatever, of the Orei Miklat, Peis Ksivan. The Pasuk mentions over there that you have to measure to each side, which implies the word Peis implies something square. So in other words, the pasuk is telling us that you have a square on each side of the Ir Miklat. So why is Rav Chanina ben Antignus over here saying that you measure the Tchum as a round circle? The less like Gzeda Shava, and if he doesn't hold the Gzeda Shava, Alpaim Amma Menole, then where does he get the 2,000 Amas? Our only source for it was this Gzeda Shava that we just said. The answer is La'olam Isla Gzeda Shava. In fact, Rav Chanina ben Antignus does agree with the Gzeda Shava. So why in that case does he say that you don't have corners over here, that you just have 2,000 Amas round, because The pasuk says this should be for them, the migrash of the cities. So he learns the word ze is a mute. Lazat and nosin payas here by the ore miklot, you put corners in. You say that on each side you measure not just 2,000 amas to the east and the west and so forth, but you also fill in the corners. But the iyata nosin payas lashovs Shabbos. But you don't do that for resting on Shabbos. So therefore, the tchum is round, not square. Verabbanan. So what are the rabbanan answer to that? They say toni. We learn in a brayser of Hananya Omer. Just the opposite. The chachamim say that ze means kaze yiu kol shovs Shabbos. Everything of resting on Shabbos should be like this. Now, as far as tchum, again, it's only midrabanan, so therefore it's really only nesmachta. But there is a relevance to it as far as hilchas Shabbos, as far as what a person is chayev chatas for on Shabbos. Namely, Omer of Achaba Yaakov, hamavir dalon amas b'shusarabim, if a person carries something for amas in b'shusarabim, enei chayev ad shemavir hein v'alach sonan. He's actually only chayev if he moves it the amount of four amas plus the diagonal. Now, in Gemara math, if you take the diagonal of a square, if the sides of the square are whole numbers, the diagonal is not going to be a whole number. It's actually going to be an irrational number. But the Gemara rounds it off in various places. We're going to have an example of it in the next Masechta. The Gemara rounds it off to 1.4. So in other words, if you have a square one by one, well, let's say one tefach by one tefach, then the Gemara is going to consider the diagonal of it is going to be 1.4 tefachim. It's actually a tiny bit more. It's an irrational number. It's the square root of 2, but whatever. Anyway, the point is that the same thing then, a square of 4 by 4 amos, the diagonal of it by that calculation is going to be 5.6 amos. Not talking about circles. We're talking about if you have a square, but you're not carrying. If you're carrying along the diagonal of the square, that diagonal is 5.6 amos. So therefore, you're only chayev if you carry 5.6. Now, what does that mean? Rashi says it means in general. The Rambam also learns the same way. It means in general. A person is only chayev chatas for when we talk about throughout Shas, a person carrying 4 amos on Shabbos and being chayev, really what we mean is he would have to carry 5.6 amos to be chayev. We're mentioning 4 amos because it's based on 4 amos, but it really would be 5.6. So the Rambam actually writes that the Shulchan Aruch brings it as a yesh omrim, that carrying up to 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah, you're allowed to. We've learned that in Shabbos. You're allowed to carry something one time, 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah. And there are certain exceptional cases where the Chum allowed you to then stop and then carry it another less than 4 amos and so forth. Between 4 and 5.6 amos would be that Rambam learns Potter Aval Osir. It's Potter Midaraisa, but it's also Midrabanon. 5.6 or more, person would be Chayiv Daraisa. So that's according to Rashi and according to the Rambam. That when we say 4 amos, we really mean 5.6 amos. A person would need to carry in order to be chayev for Dinei Shabbos. Tosfos brings a couple of opinions about it. Tosfos brings an opinion from the Rashbam that no, what we mean is like this. If you're moving something in Rosh Hashanah, let's say directly east or directly west towards one of the four compass points, then you're going to be chayev for only 4 amos. But if let's say you move it diagonally, let's say you go to the northeast or the northwest or whatever, that's when the Gemara is saying that you'd be chayev only for 5.6 amos. So not. Right. So in other words, again, according to Rashi and according to the Rambam, you're always going to be potter up to 5.6 amos, no matter which direction you moved it in. Rabbi Natam says something similar in Tosfos. But according to the Rashbam, no. If you're going directly east, then you only have 4 amos. If you're going directly west, you only have 4 amos. But if you're going northeast or southwest or whatever, that's when you have the 5.6. Okay. Amara Papa, Bodiklon Rava. So our Papa says in this connection, Rava one time tested us. Our Papa was one of the Talmidim of Rava. So one time Rava, the Rosh Hashiva, tested us by asking us the following question. Amud b'shusarabim, Gavaya Yud V'Roich of Dalad. When we say that if you have a pillar in Rosh Hashanah, which is at least 10 tefachim tall and at least 4 by 4, When we say it has to be 4x4, does it need to be large enough that there would be able to be a diagonal of 4 in it? Meaning, in other words, would the person be chayev if, let's say, if the width of it was a round pillar and the width of it was only 4 amos. So you don't have, there's not enough room to square off 4x4 because that would stick out of it. Is a person still chayev if he takes something from a shoser abim and puts it on top of that pole, or vice versa? If it was less than size, it would be makom tur, right? So v'amrinan lei. So we talmidim answered lav hainu de Rav Chananya. Wouldn't that be the same thing as what Rav Chananya said? The Tanya Rav Chananya omer kozayu kol shev se Shabbos. Everything in Shabbos involves corners. So therefore, yes, you would have to have if the pole is only four is round and is only 4 across, then you're not going to be chayev for it because there's not room enough over there to describe a square 4x4. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos again. You have the two opinions of Rashbam and Rabbi Natam in Tosfos about what's going on over here. One, the Rashbam says that again, what it means is you have to look at where this pillar is relative to the compass directions. If the pillar is placed in Rosh Hashanah such that one of its sides is directly facing north and another one directly facing east and so forth, then you would be chayev for putting something on it, even though it's only exactly 4x4. Because you go according to the cardinal directions, you go according to the compass directions, and therefore it is 4x4. On the other hand, Rabbi Natam says that no, it has in order to be chayev, it would have to be that no matter how you draw a square 4x4 in it, it will always fit. In other words, in effect, according to Rabbi Natam, when is it going to be considered a shosei yachid such that a person is going to be chayev only if it's 5.6 by 5.6. Aye, that's much bigger than 4x4. But you can see the diagram in Hagoyes Habach. Where even though the pillar, because the point is, if let's say the pillar was placed such that one corner of it faces north and one corner faces east and so forth, and then you could only draw a square in it 4x4, which is exactly aligned with the compass points. Therefore, we always say, says Rabbi Natam, that the pillar has to be 5.6 by 5.6, no matter which direction it's placed, in order to be chayev. So that's what it means. In other words, so when we say that Shabbos always involves corners, in Shulchan Aruch it brings both opinions. First, it brings that a person is chayev just for carrying 4 amos, and therefore you can't carry more than 4 amos at one time in Shusat Abim. Then it brings Yeshayim from the Rambam that four amos until 5.6 is only also Darabanan, and beyond 5.6 is also Daraisa. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, "Vizehu she'omru." Yeah, we're holding on Nun Aleph Amud Beis near the bottom. We said in the Mishnah, "Vizehu she'omru ha'onim out of Berdaglov." We said in the Mishnah that this is the case where we said that an oni is able to make an eruv on foot. And Omer of Meir ein lanu ela oni v'cholor. The Meir had said in that case it applies only to an oni. So let's review what the Mishnah had said in order that this next part is going to be clearer. Because what the Gemara is going to be working on is figuring out that machloikus about ein lanu ela oni and echad oni ve'echad osher is. So like this, let's go back to the Mishnah on Memtes Amud Beis a second and look at the last part of it. So again, we had in the Mishnah a couple of dinim. We had the case where a person recognized the landmark and he says Shvisasi Tachtov, it's no good. But if he says Shvisasi Beikroy, then it's good. Then his 4 amos is defined because it's just next to the trunk of the tree. Then we said Vizuhi Shaomru Ha'oni Mar'ad of Beraglav. So then we have the case in the Mishnah where the person just says Shvisasi B'Makayimi, my Makam Shvisa is right where I am right now. Then we said in the Mishnah that Vizuhi Shaomru Ha'oni Mar'ad of Beraglav. This is what we mean when we say that an oni can make an eruv on foot, and the person traveling is considered an oni because he's not at home, he doesn't have food with him. And Rameyer had said that Ein Lono Ella Oni, that that in that case applies only to an Oni, and Oshir would actually have to go and put food over there. And Rabbi Yehuda says, Echad Oni Vechad Oshir, whether it's an Oni or an Oshir, the same thing applies. The Chachamim just said, and then the Mishnah finishes off with a line that says, Loi Omru Ma'arvin Mepas Ella Lahokal Ala Oshir. When we said that you can make an Eruv with bread, is meant as a kula for the rich person, so you shouldn't have to go out and be Ma'arv Vedaglav. So we have to figure out which of the cases of the Mishnah are the Meir and Rabbi Yehuda arguing about, and that last line, Loi Omru Ma'arvin Bepas, Ela Lahokal Ala Asher, is that part of what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, or is that something that the Meir would agree to also? So those are going to be the points that we're going to discuss now in the Gemara. So Amar Rav Nachman, Machloikas B'Mekoimi. So Rav Nachman says the Machloikas of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is where the person says shvisasi b'makoimi. I want my makom shvisa to be where I am right now. So then Rav Meir is saying that works only for an oni, and Rabbi Yehuda is saying it works for anybody. So the machlokas is, did a meir sava ikur eruv v'pas? Rav Meir holds the main way to make an eruv tchumen is by putting bread or some other food. Therefore, the mayor would say, Oni hu da akilu rabbanon ilave. So when it comes to an oni, the chacham would make on him and said that he doesn't have to put food over there. He's on the road. He doesn't have extra food with him. So then the chacham said he could say, shvisasi b'mekoimi. Aval osher loy. But if he's an osher, and an osher doesn't even mean literally that he's rich. It just means somebody who's sitting at home. Then Rav Meir would say, nothing doing. You can't make a mokum shvisa where you are right now. I mean, if you do, it doesn't really have an effect because you're living in the city anyway. But if you can't make a mokum shvisa at a distance, you have to actually put down food. That's Rav Nachman says, that's the machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda sava ikur eruv v'regel. Rabbi Yehuda says that no, the main way of making an eruv is on foot. Therefore, it applies echad oni v'echad osher. So both an oni or an osher are able to make an eruv like that. And when Aval will mock, but that's when he's standing in a certain place and says, I want my mokum shvisa to be here. Aval b'mokum ploini, but if he's saying that my mokum shvisa should be in a different place, then divrei hakol oni ein osher loy. Then even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that only an oni can do that. And again, an oni for this purpose includes somebody who's on the road, but not an osher. Vizuhi sha'amru. So when we say in the Mishnah, vizehu sha'amru ma'arvin b'raglav man katoni la. So which Tana is saying that part? That's Rabbi Meir. Va'ahayakoi, which part of the Mishnah is he referring to? Aene makir osheene boki b'halacha. He's referring back to the last case where a person does not recognize a landmark. Or he doesn't know the halacha. He doesn't know of a place to be kohenim shvisa at a distance, or he doesn't know the halacha that he can. And So you have the case in the Mishnah where that case was Kona Shvisa b'mekoimoi, and Rav Meir says only an Oni can do that, an Osher cannot. Rabbi Yehuda says an Osher could do that as well. But when it comes to making at a distance, earlier in the Mishnah, when we had the case where he recognizes a tree or something and wants to use that as his makom shvisa, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that only an Oni can do that, not an Osher. And when it says beloy amu ma'avin b'pas ela lahokol, when the Mishnah said that the Chachamim gave the heter of using bread only to be a kula on the rich person, that would be man katani la Rabbi Yehuda. That would be Rabbi Yehuda saying that. So again, Rab Nachman would punctuate the Mishnah as follows: We said you have the case where he's not where he wants to make shvisa at a distance. He would say both Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda agree only an oni can do that. Then you have the case where he just says, I want my makom shvisa to be where I am right now. So now comes Rav Meir and says that works only for an oni. Rabbi Yehuda says it works for an osher as well, because the main thing of Erev Tchumen is to do it on foot. And therefore, since he's on foot and he's located right now at that spot, then that's considered as makom shvisa. So according to the mayor, only an oni has that ability to make a makom shvisa just by being there. According to the mayor, if he's an osher, he would actually have to go and have food. He'd have to actually have food over there in order for it to be his makom shvisa. Again, we're talking about where he's making an ad hoc makom shvisa just for the Shabbos. We're not talking about where he lives at home, and where obviously his makom shvisa is his house inside the city, and the whole city counts for him like four amos. We're not talking about that. Okay, so that's all Rav Nachman's way of understanding the Mishnah. But Rav Chista Omar, Rav Chista says no. Machlokas b'makom ploini. The machlokas is where he says my makom shvisa should be in such and such a place. The earlier case in the Mishnah where he said my makom shvisa should be next to this tree or something. So that would be did a mayor sava oni ein oshuloi. Rav Meir would hold that kind of thing to make an eruv tchumen at a distance based on that he's not there yet, but he's going to be there before Shabbos begins, as we said on Omer Aleph, where he's able to run there and actually reach there before Ben Hashmoshes is over. So Rav Meir would hold only an oni can do that, an oshur not. But Rav Yehuda sava echad oni veechad oshur. Rav Yehuda says whether oni or oshur, he can do that. He can have in mind, so he can be sitting at home, for example, and have in mind my makom shvisa should be at this tree of 2,000 or 1,000 or 2,000 or whatever amos away from the city. But if he says, I want my makom shvisa to be where I am right now, then both Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda would agree that it works for an oni or an osher, because the primary way of making an eruv is on foot. In other words, again, according to Rav Nachman, we said part of the machlokas, Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, was what is the basic way of making an eruv? Is the basic way to use food, and in certain cases, the chacham make on an oni, or is the basic way to make it on foot? But according to Rav Chista's understanding, they both agree that the ikur eruv is beregel, and you just have the question then when it comes to making it a distance, do the chacham allow it for an osher? Vizuhi sha'omru man katoni lo Rav Meir. So again, when we start off by saying vizuhi sha'omru hu ani munada b'raglav, that would be according to the Meir. So which part of the Mishnah, which case in the Mishnah is it referring to? Aha, it's referring to the following part. Misha baba derech v'choshcha. The first case of the Mishnah, he's on the road, it's getting dark, and he realizes he's not going to make it home before Shabbos, but he knows a certain landmark, a tree or whatever, which he's going to make his makom shvisa. So the mayor would say, in that case, that's where I'm arguing and saying that only an oni can do that. But not back to the case right before it, which was the case where he doesn't know the halacha or whatever, he doesn't know the landmark, and therefore he says, shvisasi b'mekayimi, Rav Meir would agree that an osher could do that as well. According to Rav Chista. Yeah. And then when we say v'loy amu ma'avin pas el lahakol man katoni la, which Tana would be the one that's saying that the Chachamim did not say that you can make with bread is only in order to be makel? That would be divrei hakol. That would be Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Says Rav Chista would both agree with that concept. Both of them would say that basically eruv is beregel, and the Chachamim made a kula that you can do it with pas in order that the rich person doesn't have to schlep out there and be ma'ariv beraglav. So according to Rav Chista, that last line of the Mishnah is according to both Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. It's not the Rabbanon. We don't have Rabbanon over here. We have Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah, and we have Rav Nachman's understanding of their machlokas and Rav Chista's understanding of their machlokas. So again, according to Rav Nachman, they're arguing about the case: can you be kona shvisa right where you are? So the mayor would say only an oni, and Rav Yehuda would say also an osher. But to be kona shvisa at a distance, both of them would agree you can only do that if you're an oni. And then part of that machlokas would be then what is the main way of what's the original takana of eruv tchumen, or what's the best way to make an eruv tchumen? Is it on foot or is it with bread, with food? That's according to Rav Nachman. According to Rav Chista, we're saying that they agree that ikur eruv beregel. So they both agree that if you just want to say shvisasi b'mekayimi, you can be an osher and you can still do that. The question is about making an eruv at a distance. Can you do it just by having it in mind and it's a place where you're going to be able to get to before Shabbos, or is it that you actually need to put food there if you're an osher? So that's what Rav Chista says. That's the argument. Right. So according to the mayor, no. And according to the Yehuda, yes. Yeah. Okay, I mean, Tosfos points out also that, look, I mean, if according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're just able to sit at home and say Shvisasi b'makom ploini, then how is it a kula to be able to use food? So Tosfos says, let's say, because after all, I mean, if according to Rav Chista's understanding, you're able to sit at home and say, I want my makom shvisa to be under that tree, then how is the fact that you can use food, how is that a kula? The answer is, Tosfos says, let's say, for example, you don't know a particular landmark. So you can't say, you're not able to say, my makom shvisa should be at such and such a point, because you don't have any way of defining that point. Therefore, that's when you have the kula that you're able to use food by putting it down in that particular spot, rather than having to schlep out there and be there at Bein HaShemeshes. That's the kula. So in other words, if it was that he knows a particular landmark, you're right. There's no according to Rabbi Yehuda. There's no according to Rav Chista's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda. There's no particular kula in being able to use food, because you might as well just say my makom shvisa is under that tree, or is it next to by the trunk of that tree. Only if you don't have a tree over there or some other landmark, that's when it's useful to have the kula of food. Well, that's the point. In other words, if there was a tree, if he knew that there was a certain landmark, he wouldn't need to schlep out there either way, according to Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rav Chista's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, he could just sit at home and say, you know that tree over there, that's going to be my, that by its trunk is going to be my makom shvisa for Shabbos. Okay. Tanya Kabased Rav Nachman. We learn a braisa like Rav Nachman's understanding of the machlokas. The braisa says, Echad oni ve'echad osher ma'arvin b'pas. Again, let's recap. Reb Nachman's understanding of the machlokas was that if you're talking about kona shvisa b'mekoymoi, where he is right now, that's where Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda are arguing. But to be kona shvisa at a distance, that for sure you would need pass. So to be at a distance. So Tanya Kavaseid Reb Nachman, Echad Oni ve'Echad Osher Ma'arvin b'Pas. Whether an Oni or an Osher, they use bread for the Eruv. V'lo Yetzei Osher Chutz L'Tchum V'Yem Shvisasi B'Mekoymi. So the Osher is not allowed to just go outside the Tchum and say Shvisasi B'Mekoymi. What do we mean outside the Tchum? If he goes outside the Tchum, he's going to have a problem anyway. So we'll talk about that in a second, what the word Chutz L'Tchum over here means. But anyway, the Osher is not allowed to go out there and say Shvisasi B'Mekoymi. L'Ficha Loi Omru Ma'arvin B'Regel Elo L'Misha Bava Derech V'Choshcha, because the whole concept of Ma'arvin B'Regel only applies to somebody who was traveling on the road and it got dark. Divrei Reb Meir, that's what Reb Meir says. So the Osher cannot say, I want my Makom Shvisa to be at such and such a place. Therefore, I'm going to walk out there from my house and be Kona Shvisa over there. Reb Meir says that wouldn't work. Which is like Reb Nachman said, that only an Oni can do that, according to the mayor. Now, what do we mean, chutz l'tchum? Rashi says doesn't literally mean chutz l'tchum. It means at the edge of the tchum, the 2,000 amas, or it could even mean chutz l'tchum, meaning within the 4 amas, because you have a makom shvisa of 4 amas. Tosfos gives a couple of other explanations. One is that chutz l'tchum means outside the 70 amos of the city. We're going to learn in the next parak that sometimes in certain contexts we say that a city is considered to have 70 amos surrounding it that are sort of like an extension of the city. Ibura shal'ir, we're going to talk about it in the next parak. So we're talking about over here, he placed his eruv someplace outside of that, but still within the 2,000 amos. Also, Tosfos says the case could be he's going to walk outside the tchum, then he's going to come back in and say, listen, I'm on the road, therefore I'm considered an oni. So the braisa is saying that a mayor would say that doesn't work. It's only literally when he's traveling on the road, not just when he came out of his house on Erev Shabbos and walked outside the tchum in order to walk back in and be kona shvisa there. Yeah, no games, in other words, right? Rabbi Yehuda says no. Whether an oni or an osher can make an eruv on foot by actually going out there and saying this is my makom shvisa. The yetzei osher chutz l'tchum. So therefore, the osher is allowed to go outside the tchum and say my makom shvisa should be where I am right now. V'zehu ikre shel eruv. That's the primary way of making an eruv is on foot. So again, this follows from Nachman's understanding This follows Reb Nachman's understanding of the machlokas. The tiru chachamim lebalabais l'shalayach eruv biad avde biad bnei biad shluchoi. The chachamim allowed a balabas to send his eruv with his servant or his son or his shliach b'shvil lahakolalav in order to make a kula for him. So we see that the braisa fits better with Reb Nachman's understanding of the machlokas. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, and the Braisa continues. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Maisa ba'anshe beis memel over anshe beis guyan boruma." It happened with the household of the family of memel and of the family of guyan in Oruma. Oruma is the name of a place. You actually have in Sefer Shoftim. It mentions you have the whole story over there in Sefer Shoftim in Perek Tes. You have the story of Avimelech, the son of Gideon, where he got the people of Shechem to accept him as king, and he ruled for 3 years. But he was an achzer, and eventually he got killed by he was besieging a tower, and a woman dropped a millstone on his head, and then broke his head. A whole long story over there, and then Sefer Shoftim, Perek Tes. He had killed all his brothers, the other sons of Gideon. One got away safely. It's a whole long story over there. Anyway, the Pasuk mentions over there that eventually the Pasuk mentions that there was a falling out between Avimelech and the people of Shechem, who were the ones who crowned him in the first place. So the Pasuk describes a whole civil war they had over there. And then it says, Vayeshev Avimelech Boruma. It says Avimelech lived in Oruma, which I guess is a town near Shechem. So there we see in our Gemara over here that this is the same place, Boruma. Anyway, so these people, the family of Memel and the family of Guyan lived in Oruma. So they would give out dried figs and raisins to the poor people during years of drought when there was less food available. Now people from Kfar Shichen, poor people from Kfar Shichen and Kfar Hananya, where they were more than 2,000 amas away from Oruma, but they were within 4,000 amas of it. So what would they do? They were poor. They couldn't afford to use bread for an eid of tchumen. So they would stay overnight at the edge of the tchum, so that they're as close, so that they're within 2,000 amas of their houses and within 2,000 amas of Aruma. They would stay there overnight on Friday night. They came there on Friday. And the next morning they would come and pick up their dried figs and raisins. Now the point is, Rashi says, yes, they were anim, but we're talking about that they're coming from their houses in Kfar Shichen and Kfar Hananya. They must have had some food in their house. At least they must have had mazen shtei sudas in their houses, and still were saying that they were walking and being machshech al atchum on foot. So Rabbi Yehuda says there is a proof that even an osher, again, remember, oni and osher, we don't look at their actual net worth. We're talking about, are they at home and they have food, or are they on the road and they don't have food? So these people, they lived at home in Kfar Hananya and whatever, and yet they were machshech al atchum. And it doesn't even have to mean, by the way, it doesn't mean that they camped out there over Friday night. It can mean that they went there, they were keveya their mokum shvisa by being there benashmoshes, and then they went back home and stayed home Friday night, and the next morning they would walk the full 4,000 amas to get their figs and raisins. So we see therefore Rabbi Yehuda says that you're allowed to do such a thing. That ikur eruv beregel bimakoimi. The main way of making an eruv is that the person says, where I am right now should be my makom shvisa, and he's doing it on foot. So that's the Braisa. Amar Rav Ashi Masnisin Nami Dega. So Rav Ashi says, never mind the Braisa, you actually have the next Mishnah also works better according to Rav Nachman. Because the Mishnah says, Dikatani Mishi Yotza Leilach Leir Shema Arvinba, if a person left his house on Friday to go to a nearby city, which is where it's within 4,000 amas, and he plans to do an eruv of tchumen so that he can walk to that other city on Shabbos. His friend told him, don't bother going, it's too hot, it's too cold, or whatever. So the din is, hu mutar leilich, he will be able to go to that city the next day. Everybody else in the city will be also to go, because they don't have an eruv tchumen. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, vahavinan ba. So now we ask in the Gemara, we're going to learn tomorrow in the Gemara, Maishna ihu, maishna inhu. What do we mean he's able to go there and the rest of them are not? What's the difference between him and them? Neither one of them actually made it to the tchum. So why is he allowed to walk the next day until, why is his makam shvisa at the edge over there when he's able to walk to the next city and everybody else is not? V'omar of Huna, hocha b'yaskinen. Excuse me. He himself, let's say, has two different houses. He has one house in this city. He has a house in the other city as well. There's less than 4,000 amos between them. So therefore, once he sets out on the road to go from one to the other, at that point he becomes an oni, because he's on the road. Oni for purposes of our sugya means basically that he's on the road. Well, right. Vahanach ashirim ninu. Everybody else in the city is still considered ashirim. Alma kolba makam ploini oni ein ashuloi. So we see that when a person wants to make a makam shvisa in another place, because again he didn't actually reach there yet, because we said echzire chavere, his friend told him, you know what, forget about it, don't bother. Nevertheless, we say that. We see oni ein osher loy. So therefore, only the oni is able to do it. The osher cannot. Now that works out according to Rav Nachman. Again, according to Rav Nachman's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes to be kona shvis at a distance, you need to be an oni even according to Rabbi Yehuda, as opposed to according to Rav Chista's understanding. Even an osher can make his makam shvisa at a distance by saying, "I want my makam shvisa to be there." From home, even, right? That was according to Rav Chista's understanding. So Shema Mino, so therefore that shows that there is that distinction. No. Wait. When we said we can't make a trip. No. What we said was that we were talking, Tosfos mentioned within Reb Meir's understanding, the Osher can't leave his house, go outside the Tchum, and then say, you know what, but now I'm outside the Tchum, I'm an Oni, and then I'm going to walk back into the Tchum and be Kaveh my Shvisa there. Reb Meir says that doesn't work. But here we're talking according to Reb Yehuda. So according to Reb Yehuda, but we see that this Brice, and we see that the wording of the next Mishnah works out better according to Reb Nachman. Okay, I mean, Reb Chista can have a way of entering it in order for it not to be Shver on him. But because otherwise the Gemara would have said Tiyufta on him, so he'll have a way of transferring it. But the Mishnah works out more glatt according to Reb Nachman. So the Gemara continues. Master Reb Chiya bar Ashi l'Chiya bar Rav kamei d'Rav. Reb Chiya bar Ashi was teaching the Mishnah to Chiya bar Rav in front of Rav. We've had this a few times in our Masechta already, that Reb Chiya bar Ashi was Chiya bar Rav's Malamed, so he's teaching him Mishnayos, and Rav was around there. He's teaching him echad oni ve'echad osher, that this din applies. You're able to be kaveya shvisa whether an oni or whether an osher. Amalei Rav siyim bonami halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. Finish off the Mishnah and say that the halacha in this is like Rabbi Yehuda. Not according to the no. What do you mean not according to him? No. In other words, in the machlokas of Reb Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. We brought this the other day in the Gemara when we had the whole sugya of do we follow the klolim and halacha of Reb Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. Then why does Rav need to tell him finish off the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? We said Rav doesn't necessarily agree with those rules. Rabbi Shimon Levi, we said. Well, yeah, no, actually, we said Rabbi Yochanan has those rules. We said Rabbi Yochanan agrees with those rules, but Rav doesn't necessarily agree with them. So Rav can't say it's a blanket statement that always the halacha is going to be like Rabbi Yehuda, and not necessarily also halacha k'divrei HaMekel be'eruv. But over here, the halacha is, in fact, he says the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Within that, by the way, you have in the machlokas of Reb Nachman and Reb Chista, most of the poskim paskin like Reb Nachman. So again, if you want to be kona shvisa where you are now, you don't need food. But if you want to be kona shvisa at a distance, then you need food. Like Gemara tells, Rabba Bar Rav Chanan have a rogel that osim artivna lepumbedisa. Rabba Bar Rav Chanan used to regularly walk on Shabbos from artivna to pumbedisa, which is more than 2,000 but less than 4,000 amos. So again, what he would do is va'omet heishvi sasti b'tzinta. He would be sitting at home on erev Shabbos and saying, my makam shvisa should be in tzinta. Is a certain place which is on the way. So that'll be his makam shvisa. Omalei abai my daitach remei of Rabbi Yehuda alocha k'Rabbi Yehuda. So what are you thinking? Because you're saying if there's machloikas from Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. But Amar Rav Chista machloikas makam ploini, and you're following Rav Chista's understanding of the machloikas that Rabbi Yehuda would allow it, even if he's saying makam ploini, even if you're an osher and sitting at home. Well, what do you mean? Rab Nachman v'Tanya Kavasei. We have Rab Nachman says that no, even Rab Yehuda only allows it b'mkoimi, not b'mokam acher, not in a different place, and v'Tanya Kavasei, and we even have a b'raisa like what Rab Nachman said. So, okay, again, the Mishnah we can end for according to Rab Chista, but the b'raisa clearly says according to Rab Nachman's opinion. So why are you following Rab Chista? That according to Rab Nachman and according to his b'raisa, you can't do it from the house. You can't do it from the house to say at a certain other point. You have to actually be there. Amalei Hadribi. So Rabbi Baruch Hanan says, okay, you're right. I retract. I won't do this anymore. I won't from now on. If I want to be able to walk to Pumbedissa, from now on, I'm either going to put an eruv of food over there, or I'm going to go to Tzinsa and be there bein hashmoshes. And that's in fact the halacha. Those are the two possibilities. You can be at home and send food with somebody to the place, and that'll make your makam shvisa that way. Or if you want your makam shvisa to be there, you have to be there in person bein hashmoshes. Okay. And to be continued tomorrow, Beis Hashem. Shkayach, everyone.